So St. Paul, again, he's addressing the Ephesians. This is like 4 weeks in a row of a continuous reading to the letter to the Ephesians. And he's giving them direction. He's admonishing them. He's encouraging them. And he starts off by saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So don't sadden the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit within you. It's been given to you. And so how do we sadden the Holy Spirit so that he's not able to work in our lives personally? Well, then he lists a number of ways, and they're all related to anger, all right? So before we can understand, kind of grasp like where St. Paul is going with this, I think we need some reflection upon what anger is, especially as part of our Christian, our Catholic tradition, our Catholic patrimony, our Catholic heritage, which even goes back before the time of Christ, because we assimilated what the philosophers, Socrates and Plato, Aristotle, went before them when it comes to anger. So they define that a person has what's called an irascible appetite. An irascible appetite. What? Why are you talking about this, Father? Okay. Because it's very insightful. So the irascible appetite, the base word of irascible is ira, which is anger, okay? So it's the desire for anger. And what it's actually good in itself, this anger. The purpose of the irascible appetite, which is the desire and the emotions and feelings that go with the desire, to achieve a good that is difficult to achieve, to do something hard, you know, to push through. So where does that come from? That's this irascible appetite, okay? That's this kind of angry desire that pushes forward to do the right thing when things are difficult. Now, the best example so that's good, right? We need that almost every single day because it's easy to give in to what's easy. I have a shirt that I wear during basketball season sometimes that says, play angry. All right, you know what I'm talking about. Well, play angry, what does that mean? Well, it's kind of like using the irascible appetite, that movement to desire that has feelings and emotions that are connected with his desire to overcome an opponent, a difficult opponent, right? My motto is preach angry. Preach angry. So it is a good thing. But the problem is that appetite, that angry desire, right, that there's feeling and passion that's associated with it, it can go astray and become disordered. And then we have some problems, all right? So in the way God made it, it is good because it helps us to persevere when things are difficult, push through, right, overcome the enemy, overcome the opponent. Well, what happens when it goes astray? Well, the Lord, good Lord gave me an experience this week. I was coming off of First Street from St. Anthony's, and before I got to Hillside, I was followed by this like, kind of silver vehicle, and I caught in my rearview mirror. I was like looking, and the guy's arms were like waving. I'm like, oh no, did I do something wrong? And I thought it was seemed like I was driving right. I didn't notice anything that I had erred, but he was going nuts. And so he was about 65 years old. He has kind of white hair with a nice white beard. He could have been like Santa Claus, but he was definitely not on Santa's nice list. So he's going nuts. He's going crazy. He's yelling kind of different stuff. And I'm like, oh, this could be the end for me. He's going to pull out a gun here pretty soon. He gets behind me. And, of course, we hit the red light, so it's like 45 seconds. You know, he has time to ponder this killing that he's going to do. And he's still waving and going crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, one part of me is like in desperate fear. The other is like, this guy's going nuts. He's 65 years old. Look how out of control he is, right? His anger was volatile, erupting, disproportionate. But it's amazing in even one moment that God can bring about the grace of conversion in a person. Because as soon as the light turned green, I just wanted to take a look to see if this was going to be my last moment to live. So I turned to the side. He was driving. He was going to, let's see. I was going straight, and then he was going to be going north. And he looked at me and he expressed to me that I was number one. And so, you know, even in those kind of moments that God can bring about redemption. Well, okay, so anger out of control, the irascible appetite out of control. And so this is what St. Paul's getting at. What does he say? Remove from you yourself all bitterness, fury, anger, right? Shouting. All of these have to do with anger, the irascible appetite, the good desire that has feelings and emotions to help us to overcome what is difficult, to do what is good. But they've went astray. And so he's saying you got to remove all those things. And the first thing, bitterness, that's long-standing resentment. Bitterness, for St. Paul, is a long-standing resentment. So it's become like a custom. And the word resentment literally means to feel again and feel again and feel again. So I keep turning it over, you know, go to bed. The last thing I think about is how this person, you know, did, you know, committed some injustice or infraction against me. I wake up the next morning, that's the first thing I'm thinking about, and I'm feeling it again. Or maybe it's my spouse, right? It could be anything, any person. We all know what we're talking about, and it's easy to do. So St. Paul says, put that off. Remove that. And then he says, remove fury. Fury is that instantaneous, sudden anger, that type of anger. So it's like, you know, farmers know you have to be careful during wheat season when you're cutting, you know, to not expose the stubble to a spark because it will erupt in seconds and the whole field will be ablaze. So we were cutting wheat a few weeks ago, and my dad gave me specific instructions like 10 times. Don't drive the truck too far into the field because if a spark hits the stubble or the straw, the whole thing will be up in flames. All right, that's the kind of fury type of anger. And then St. Paul uses the word anger. The specific sense that he's using here, the Greek word is ogre. So it's, yeah, Shrek. So this type of anger that he's talking about is like permanent anger. It's like the person that's always angry. It's their habitual disposition. That's all, you know these kind of people, right? Yes. Okay. So what does he say to do? Put all of these off. Remove all of them. Okay, so that's the negative part. We're trying to restore the irascible appetite so that it's doing what it's supposed to do and not destroying us and destroying other people. And then he says to do what? Be kind to one another, be compassionate, and be forgiving. So those are the positive things. That's what the Christian is to do. That's how they are to respond. Now, we can leave here and go, okay, I'm going to go try to be compassionate, kind, right, and forgiving. We can't do it unless we have a great motivation. And because if I just say, well, okay, that's just the right thing to do, it's not going to be sustained. I'm going to fall short, right? I'm going to give up. What does St. Paul do? He gives us some new thinking, a new way to look at this. He says, forgive one another as God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ. So because Christ forgave you, he saved you, he died for you, if I get that, then I get forgiving someone else. I can do that, right? Because I know what's been done for me. And then, you know, St. Paul continues on, as God the Father sent his Son who died for our sins, right, and offered himself as a sacrifice for us. That's what he did for us. So if I personally get that, I know I've been redeemed and saved at the core of my being, that makes it a little bit easier to sustain the practice of forgiveness, compassion, and kindness, doesn't it? Yeah. But if I'm just trying to do it because it's just a good thing to do, my teacher told me to, right? That's not going to last so long. Well, and I think there's actually a little bit more that we need in order to refrain and remove bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and put on compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. St. John of Avila, who's a doctor of the church, just a more recently named doctor of the church, so there's 30-some doctors. If you've been to the Spiritual Life Center, their largest room is the doctors of the church room, and they have icons of all of the doctors of the church. Well, Father Ken, the director of the Spiritual Life Center, just had commissioned the icon of St. John of Avila. So it's on display. It's worth going out there to check it out. Just amazing, capturing. Well, St. John of Avila, in kind of his spiritual masterpiece here, he talks about the difficulty of becoming a beautiful soul, a person who is compassionate, kind, and forgiving, and not one who is given over to bitterness, resentment, right, fury. He said, it is so difficult, or better, impossible for creatures to remove the ugliness of sin by their own strength. Even all creatures together, all of us together, are unable to make an ugly soul beautiful. We can't do it. Not even all of us together. So what's the key? He says, the beauty then in the souls of many who were just in terms of the natural law as well as in Scripture reached them through the shedding of the blood of the precious Lamb, Jesus Christ our Lord. So how does he say that an ugly soul who is given over to the distortions of the irascible appetite, overcome by rage and anger and lack of charity, through Christ himself. So think about this. When you come up to communion to receive the Lord in the Eucharist, the body, the blood, soul, and divinity, you are receiving the one who offered himself completely for you. That is where, for the Christian, the strength comes to become another icon of Jesus Christ, just as John of Avila was.